In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Here's my nightmare. It's Sunday morning. I open my eyes. Oddly, I can see light peeking through the curtains. That shouldn't be. It's wintertime. I'm supposed to be up in the early morning darkness. I look at the clock, and it says 9:55 a.m. I've missed the 8:15 service, I've missed the adult forum, and I've got to hustle, or else I am going to miss the 10:30. I look at the alarm clock, and it is obvious what has happened. I forgot to turn it on before I went to sleep on Saturday night. It is the worst nightmare ever. One of these days it'll happen and you will have to preach. Have you ever had a nightmare experience? When you have such a nightmare, you wake up with your heart pounding in your chest in a cold sweat thinking, it's just a nightmare, it's just a nightmare, it's just a nightmare, I'm awake now, I'm awake now. In some ways, my nightmare is scarier than dreams about falling or the dream about being chased by a bear or the dream about having to speak in front of a group and not knowing what you're going to talk about, which I do every Sunday. Because this nightmare is so very, very possible. We could sleep through the alarm clock, either because we forgot to set it or because we were so deeply asleep that we didn't even hear it. We're terrified of missing something, of sleeping through it, of being caught in the act of not being present to something. And the first Sunday of Advent is all about being present to the big thing that is coming. Look at the passage from the Gospel of Matthew, which is all about being ready for the coming of the Son of Man. We do not know the day, we do not know the hour. All we know is that he is coming, and we had better be paying attention. We had better be prepared for his arrival. Okay, that calls for an alarm clock. But how do you set your alarm clock if you do not know the day or the hour? You can't. Your only option is to stay awake and aware continually so you don't miss his arrival. Can I stay awake nonstop between now and Christmas Eve? Somehow I doubt it. Okay, well maybe the Apostle Paul has some good advice for me. I mean, the letter to the Romans is one of his most impressive instruction manuals and pastoral guides. What does Paul say? He says things that are pretty much as unhelpful as the gospel. First, he says that the time is near. Okay, that narrows down how long I have to stay awake, sort of. But then he gives me the most useless instructions imaginable. Don't party. Don't argue. Don't do all the things that are part of every single family and office event that the month of December has to offer. Live in the light. Put on the armor of light. And all this, as we approach the time of the year when the days are shortest and the light is weakest, and the mantle of darkness extends from before supper time until when I wake up or beyond. Light. Where can I find some light? and an armor of light. I wonder if the armor of light comes in my size. I doubt it. But let's say I find the armor of light. What will they say when I show up at the office party dressed in it? Will somebody look at me and say, "Buzzkill"? Or maybe, "There she goes again, getting all religious on us when we're just trying to have fun." It's a hard business, this business of seeking light and being prepared. How do we take all of this get ready business and fit it into the crazy season that bombards us with holly jolly Christmas and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer playing in every store that we enter, even Home Depot? Doesn't the Lord know that we've got lots of work to do before December 25th? But what is December 25th all about? Is it about the gift list and going on the tacky lights tour and the 2,000 cookies we need to bake and the cards and the Christmas letter and the travel arrangements and decorating the tree? Is it about the ticking of the clock, that alarm clock that reminds me that I haven't gotten halfway through my to-do list yet? And everyone knows you've got to mail gifts by December 15th, otherwise you're going to have to pay for priority mail. Or is it about moving into a different kind of time, hearing a different kind of clock ticking? This is about understanding that a different kind of wake-up call awaits us. This is about recognizing that even as we await the coming of Jesus Christ, both in the nativity story that we'll hear for the next several weeks and in the promise of Jesus' second coming, that each and every moment, even the darkest ones, are pregnant with possibility. All this talk about stay awake, keep aware, is it not just about the Christ, but about the chance that we may encounter Christ and live into our relationship with Christ each and every day? Yes, we're waiting for Christmas. Yes, we're also awaiting Jesus' second coming, about which Paul and his followers exchanged several letters. Yes, we know that momentous things will happen that have been written about and prophesied in Scripture. But we're also charged with keeping awake and keeping aware that glimmers of glory moments, those moments of light, are all around us in every moment. It may be rainy and sleeting and cold as it was at the beginning of this week. It may be a time when we miss those who are far from us. It may be a day when the deep ache of chronic illness or simple old age makes us think that there is no longer any good purpose to our life. But I submit that if we keep our eyes open and our hearts open as well, those glimmers of glory moments will flicker across the night sky of our souls. Over the past few months, and particularly in the last week or so, there's been a lot of talk in the news about a comet named Ison. It's enormous. It has the potential of coming near the Earth. Super comet, if you believe the Discovery Channel. Astronomers have been having a field day calculating when and where it might pass near the Earth. But Ison has a more complicated journey than simply coming near us. First, it had to pass around the back of the sun. And the other day, it took that solar pass, and after it rounded and came back into astronomers' view, they were quite convinced that it had been destroyed by the heat of the sun. Because all they saw was this puff, this trail of dust in the sky. Until the moment they started seeing it coming round again. Isun did not burn up, at least not all the way. It probably had a bit of a weight reduction program. Some of it got burnt off, but it was still moving. It's still coming around, and it's brightening as it leaves the area of the sun and moves along quite smartly. Now, the media focuses on what's gone from it, how much smaller it appears after its near-death experience with the sun. Somebody was calling it the zombie comet, which I think is just a bit too much. But it still glows. And it streaks across the sky, and the astronomers can see it. And it may yet head in this direction. They're now saying December 17th is when it may be visible. A glimmer of glory that we would have to look hard to see in space. We have to stay awake to look at. But hear the words of astronomer Carl Badhams. From the beginning, Isun has confused, surprised, and amazed us. And in hindsight, its latest little escapade really should not shock us. Nonetheless, this has been one of the most extraordinary comets we have ever encountered, and just goes to reiterate how beautiful, dynamic, and exciting our universe is. There are indeed glimmers of glory moments around us if we look hard enough, if we stay awake enough. The smile of a grandchild, a hug from a friend, the relief found after pain medication is administered, a phone call from an estranged family member, the possibilities, the infinite possibilities that God lays before us each day if we stay awake and pay attention, even the possibility that God would come to live among us as the tiniest of babies in a remote town half a world away, and that our lives in this time and this place would be forever changed by that birth. Our God is a God of possibilities, of a million what-ifs. With that in mind, my Advent prescription for us all is that we put down our to-do lists. Instead, think of God's what-if list. What if the world were peaceful? What if we loved our neighbors, all of them? What if no child was hungry or cold? What if no gunshots or bombs marred the still night sky? What if we were truly transformed by the child that is to come? What if we stayed awake, with or without the alarm clock's insistent ring, and were aware of that glimmer in the sky? A comet, a star, a baby's cry. What if?